how important is Karnataka in national politics? Now, if you look at the size of Karnataka in terms of the number of MPs it sends to national parliament, it's sort of middling. It's between Kerala at 20, Madhya Pradesh at 29, so thereabouts. So for a country where political analysts are obsessed with the Hindi heartland, how much does Karnataka matter? So first of all, let's get that out of the way. Karnataka matters greatly for the BJP. BJP is the dominant party in the country now. They max out the Hindi heartland and the western states, that is Maharashtra and Gujarat, so far. But Karnataka is the only state in the south that they actually have the ability to rule. And where they dominate not as much as they might in the Hindi heartland, because the Congress is quite strong and also Devagowda's party also has its own sort of island in South Karnataka. But it is the BJP's only foothold in the south. It's also the only state in the south that the BJP is governing. It is also a state that BJP must keep holding on to and must look good while doing so, if it has to also fulfill its ambition of growing into Telangana and also Andhra, the other states of the south. It has made some gains in Telangana. That's why we are watching what's happening with the Yediyurappa government, with the BJP government led by B.S. Yediyurappa there, very, very closely, because this has a bearing not just on Karnataka, which is a very important state, but also on the BJP's larger politics. It also is a very interesting phenomenon, because in the BJP model of chief ministerships or in the BJP model of governance under the Modi Shah high command style, chief ministers are not supposed to have so much power that they can defy the high command. We are seeing a similar tamasha going on in Punjab right now, with the high command, Congress high command, not liking Amrinder Singh so much, sort of shoehorning Navjot Singh Sidhu in there, and some this tamasha is going on there. But for the BJP, this high command culture is new, and Yediyurappa is the one chief minister in the BJP's pantheon of state leaders, in the Modi Shah BJP's pantheon of state leaders, who's been able to assert his own authority and his own presence. And he's got the BJP to break many rules for him. I will just list them in a couple of minutes. Right now, he's under pressure. 26th of July, he completes 2 years of his government. Before that, Kumaraswamy, Devagowda's son of JDS, he had completed about a year as chief minister in partnership with the Congress. It was around that time that the BJP broke that coalition. It got a lot of the MLAs to defect more from the Congress. At one point, Yediyurappa even became chief minister for about 6 days, had his Vajpayee moment. But then, we know all that tamasha, that case went to Supreme Court. And then a fresh show of strength was held, whereby Congress-JDS alliance came to power. So that lasted about a year, and then that was brought down. Some of that has now popped up also in this Pegasus project details. Looks like that at that point, Congress leader Siddaramaiah's secretary and also Kumaraswamy's secretary, their phones were being tracked. At least that is what this Pegasus project data tells us. That is how Yediyurappa came to power. Even then, given half a chance, BJP would have preferred not to give him power, because he was already 76. So that is where he made the BJP break or bend one of its cardinal rules, that nobody keeps power, nobody keeps an active job, political job, once you cross the age of 75. In fact, the two cabinet ministers who briefly continued on beyond 75, Najma Hepatullah and Kalpraj Mishra, also soon enough were sent out to Raj Bhavan. So in the BJP, once you cross 75, you are sent out to a Raj Bhavan or Margdarshak Mandal or some such place. That is not the age at which you become chief minister. But he became chief minister at 76. Why? Because he presented the BJP with a TINA situation. There is no alternative. And BJP knew if they don't have him, then they will lose him. Why is he so important? I will tell you in a minute. What's happening right now is he is under pressure. His existence as chief minister has always been fraught with these tensions, because he's known that his high command doesn't like him. His high command makes no secret of the fact that they don't like him. A lot of his decisions have been getting held up. He's not been getting meetings, etc. But lately he's come, he's had a few meetings and looks like something is moving. He's now making statements saying that whatever the party does, he will accept. At the same time, he made a show of strength just yesterday. He got a whole lot of Lingayat seers, effectively the entire Lingayat clergy, to collect and back him. Now, why that is important? Therein lies the answer to the question why Yediyurappa is so important. Because we have to understand Karnataka's caste politics. Again, when we think of caste politics, we think of the Hindi heartland. But look at Karnataka. Now, Karnataka has a very interesting mix of identities, caste, as well as religion. And you need a critical mass of that to win. Of that, besides the fact that there is about 17% scheduled castes, 7% tribals, about 10% OBCs. Among the other castes, Brahmins are just about 2.1%, very small percentage. Although Brahmins have given Karnataka many chief ministers. Ramakrishna Hegde, for example, was a Brahmin. But it's not very sustainable for Brahmins in today's politics to be chief ministers in Karnataka. So the two other dominant castes are Lingayats, who are 16%, and Vokkaligas, who are about 11 to 12%. Lingayats, most of whom would be described as Veera Shaiva Lingayats. Now, Lingayats is, I won't say a sect, but say an order that was founded by the great saint Basaveshwara in the 12th century, who said that this is casteless. You come, all of you can pray to one god, etc. But generally, over time, grew into a Shaivite sort of line among the Hindus. Shaivite, almost Brahminical, not Brahmin. In fact, when Basaveshwara first came in, his way of getting everyone together under one tent was also his way of getting people to defy the Brahmin domination. In fact, as I was checking around on who the Lingayats are, my colleague, our managing editor, YP Rajesh, who's from Karnataka, he also reminded me that it is actually Basaveshwara who first spoke in India the expression work is worship. And his exact words in Kannada were Kaya Kave Kailasa. Kaya Kare Kailasa. That means aap kaam kariye to aapko Kailash Bhagwan milte hain. Work is worship. So his adherents, and those adherents are then, they owe their allegiance to many of these mutt seers. It's a very tightly knit caste, and I will tell you the role they've played in Karnataka's politics, more contemporary politics, say in the Yediyurappa era. That is why I said this will answer the question as to why Yediyurappa is so important for the BJP and why they can't be seen to be pushing him around so much, and they've given him such a long rope already. Obviously, now their patience is running out. Now, the other caste is Vokkaligas. Vokkaligas are about 11 to 12%. That's why you'll find that one party collects the Vokkaliga vote, one collects the Lingayat vote, and then whoever can collect more of the Dalit, OBC, Muslim vote can win. Or if the party that collects the Lingayat vote also gets others, because they are also Hindus, that is OBCs, Dalits, etc., then they can rule the states. That is the BJP's formulation currently. The Vokkaliga formulation mostly is Kumaraswamy and H.T. Devegowda's, because they are Vokkaligas. But one preeminent Congress leader right now, D.K. Shivkumar, is also a Vokkaliga. Whereas the former chief minister of the Congress, that is Siddaramaiah, is from the shepherd caste, which is an other backward caste. So Congress, on the other hand, Congress has had a strong vote bank in Karnataka, but Congress has relied mostly on the combination of Muslim, Dalit, other backward castes, and tribal. So that is the general breakup in Karnataka. So if the Lingayat vote goes away from the BJP, BJP now dominates it almost totally. I've traveled in Karnataka twice, once during state elections, once during parliament elections. The moment you figure out somebody is Lingayat, you know that he or she is voting the BJP no matter what age. So that is something which is the most loyal vote bank to the BJP among any I have seen of this size in any state. And they owe their allegiance in many ways to Yediyurappa. They take Yediyurappa very, very seriously. Now what happens? What happens when BJP throws Yediyurappa out? Or what happens when anybody throws the preeminent Lingayat leader out? So let me take you back to 1989 under Rajiv Gandhi. 1989 elections, Congress won 178 out of 224 seats in Karnataka. Sweep. 178 out of 224. It was a kind of sweep that Mamata Banerjee has been making lately in West Bengal. 178 out of 224. Now, it is well known that about 100 seats in Karnataka depend on the Lingayats. In those seats, Lingayats can shift the balance. At that point, Congress maxed out because the Lingayats voted for it. Why? Because the Congress leader then, the chief ministerial candidate, was Virendra Patil, a Lingayat. Then what happened? Soon after Virendra Patil took over, he fell sick, he got paralyzed. And that is when Rath Yatra started, Advaniji's Rath Yatra started, and riots took place in Karnataka. 46 people died, and Rajiv Gandhi then came flying into Bangalore. He was not the prime minister any longer, but he came flying into then Bangalore, now Bengaluru. And he went straight to one of the sites where 19 people were killed. Very bad rioting had taken place. Came back from there, and he was going to Chennai to inaugurate a statue. But on his way out, he announced that he had dismissed Virendra Patil. He dismissed Virendra Patil because the justification he made was that he failed to control the riots, he wasn't well, etc., etc. But the manner in which it was done was seen as disrespectful. It was disrespectful, not just to Virendra Patil, but it was then seen as disrespectful to the entire Lingayat community. So he dismissed Virendra Patil. The next election, 1994, what happened to the Congress? The Congress party, which had got 178 seats out of 224 in 1989. And mind you, in 1989, Congress party was not at the peak of its popularity. In fact, its popularity nationally was declining steeply. But the Congress party, which got 178 in 1989, was now reduced in 1994 to how many seats? Two figures, but how many seats? 36. So 178 to 36. And that is what happened when you insulted a Lingayat leader and Lingayats went away. And in 94, as Congress went down to 1996, we know that Gowda's party made a lot of gains at that time. That ultimately positioned him in a way that he became prominent enough to even briefly become Prime Minister of India. The BJP's vote share in Karnataka in 1994, which used to be 4%, now went to 17%. 4 to 17. So it went up by 13 percentage points, which means the Lingayat vote, or which is seen as the Lingayat vote shifting lock, stock and barrel from Congress party to the BJP. And that since then has been the BJP's driving force. That is the gas in the BJP's tank in Karnataka. 2013 now, BJP decided to go to the polls in Karnataka without Yediyurappa, because what had happened at that point was that Yediyurappa was chief minister. He had corruption charges. He also briefly went to jail for some time. There was a Lokayukta order against him, or Lokayukta strictures against him. So all that stuff happened. BJP didn't back him. They removed him and they replaced him with Sadanand Gowda, who was actually his protege. He was Yediyurappa's protege, though a vocaliga. And he didn't last either. And then Jagdish Shettar. So in the term of one state assembly, BJP had three chief ministers. When the fresh election took place by 2013, Yediyurappa had broken away. He broke away. He was angry, although he's an RSS person. This rarely happens in the BJP, that somebody breaks away, forms his own party. The other major example I have of something like this happening was actually Shankar Singh Waghela in Gujarat. So Yediyurappa broke away and he set up his own party called Karnataka Janata Paksh. Now he won only 6 seats in that election. But the fact is that he took away a lot of the BJP's Lingayat vote. And because he did that, BJP again did badly, and that is how Congress came to power and Siddaramaiah became chief minister for a full 5 years. By 2018, Yediyurappa was back in the BJP. BJP got the largest number of seats, could not win a majority, got the largest number of seats, and we know the rest of the history. The other two sides combined, Congress and Gowda's party, they set up their government for some time, and later through defections, BJP set up a new government. But when they did, they had no choice but to appoint Yediyurappa as chief minister in 2018, although he was more than 75 years old. In fact, at that point, I had written a national interest that says precisely this, that, you know, this is the power of Yediyurappa, that he can even get the high command to bend its rules for him. So what are the other things that he got BJP to bend? One was the age limit, and I told you about Najma Hepatullah and Kalpraj Mishra. Then, under the Modi Shah model, no dominant leader in his or her state has been given the chief ministership. And you have examples from Devendra Fadnavis to Raghuvar Das in Jharkhand to Manohar Lal Khattar. That is not the model, and multiple chief ministers now in Uttarakhand as well. That is not the model of the Modi Shah BJP. They don't set up a strong state satrap as the chief minister. With Yediyurappa, they had to make an exception. The second thing, they don't like to make as chief minister somebody who has a strong vote bank, caste-based vote bank. Once again, they had to break that rule for Yediyurappa, because they knew that without him, they cannot rule Karnataka. They cannot keep a government together. Third, BJP has never tolerated dissidents or defiance from any of its leaders, particularly in the post-Modi Shah era. Whereas Yediyurappa is somebody who had broken away, set up his own party, but he was taken back as a prodigal child and rehabilitated. Once again, a new thing. Because BJP knew that when they had thrown him out in 2013, he might have got just 6 seats, but BJP was now reduced to 40 seats. So when Lingayats got upset with the Congress, it got 36 seats. When Lingayats got friendly with the BJP, it got a majority. When Lingayats got upset with the BJP, BJP also got 40, which is about the same number of seats as the Congress had got in 2004. And that vote, Yediyurappa is seen to sit over. And that is the reason BJP, although they've been very impatient and very irritated with him, that is the reason they've not been able to remove him. Now, what has Yediyurappa done? He produced, while he's saying he's a disciplined soldier of the party, whatever the party says, on the 25th of July, he will accept it. But he also got these Lingayat seers together. Now, Lingayats have a very strong tradition of those mutts. In fact, I've been to their main mutt in Tumkur. A lot of people come there. These are very well-run mutts. They have institutions. They do very good work. And people revere them. And they have said that they will not like it if Yediyurappa is removed. So, for example, I have a quote from Dingaleshwara Swamiji of Bale Hosur Mutt. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Bale Hosur Mutt, who says that heads of the mutts believe that BJP is in power in Karnataka because of Yediyurappa. And he also said that the earlier pain for when he was removed and humiliated is still felt by the Lingayats. And he goes on to say that BJP will be destroyed and we are not the only ones saying this. So you can see that Lingayat clergy, which is very powerful, they put their weight behind B.S. Yediyurappa. And yet the BJP is now looking at replacing him because he is just somebody who doesn't go with their style and temperament anymore. And also he's 78 years old right now. He's had some health challenges, although we don't know how much of a factor that is. Now, once again, what are BJP's options? BJP is looking at, various names are coming up, although BJP is known to give surprises. So if it has to be a Lingayat, it can be S.R. Bommai's son, that is Basavaraj Bommai. His name has popped up. It can be Basav Gowda Patil Yatnal. It can be Arvind Bellad. All these are Lingayats. Then this Lingayat kinship is so strong that even M.B. Patil, who is from the Congress party, even he has said, even he has warned the BJP, I mean, what, how is it his business, I don't know, but he has warned the BJP that if you insult Yediyurappa, the wrath of the Lingayats will be upon you. Obviously, it also suits him to then instigate the Lingayats like that. There are few others who see a chance. See B.L. Santosh, the organizing secretary of the BJP, on sort of loan or deputation or secondment from the RSS to the BJP. Now, you might say that RSS pracharaks who are sent to work with the BJP never become political leaders, never hold public office. That's not true. There's an exception already, and that exception is called Narendra Modi. So there can be another exception as well. So B.L. Santosh and also Prahlad Joshi, a central minister, they are both Brahmins. And Brahmins, as you know, are a very small caste vote bank in Karnataka. But that was the case in Maharashtra also, where Fadnavis became chief minister. There is also National General Secretary of the BJP, C.T. Ravi, who is a Vokaliga. So everybody now thinks that I have a chance, because everybody now thinks that Yediyurappa's days are probably numbered. And then you also have arguments like this coming up that, look, why not a Brahmin now? Because since Ramakrishna Hegde, we haven't had a Brahmin chief minister. That is since 1988. In fact, now that we mentioned Hegde, I will also tell you, and all this Pegasus phone tapping stuff is going on, that in 1988, Hegde as chief minister had lost his chief ministership on the charges that he was tapping the phones of his opponents. And I had interviewed him then, and a handle called Indian History Pick, which puts out very interesting findings from our old archives, etc. I'm grateful to him. He or she put out that a copy of that interview, a link to that interview from India Today's archives, which I am sharing with you. So once again, Karnataka politics, Brahmin politicians seeing a chance, phone tapping going on, etc., etc. That's why I say that political history is circular. It keeps turning circles, and you usually see a movie that you've seen before. The characters change, the dialogues change, the music changes, the colors change, and technology changes. But essential politics remains more or less the same.